So I'm actually coming before you guys, well, first of all, lucky to be able to preach to you guys. We were on Wednesday together and we shared about unity, if you guys can remember that session together. And today is a little bit building on that, but I've actually done this session with three groups already. So we're four groups, so you're the fourth group to hear this message. And I'm actually repenting of a leadership style thing that Andrew brought before me apostolically. So when you repent from the front and you've got one congregation, it's easy, you just repent once. But now the three groups, this is the fourth time I've repented in front of a group. So it's like, and there was a week break. So it's just like, please let it be over. Please can I get off the cross? So Andrew just, that's the beauty of being in a church that has apostolic oversight, is the apostles always check how you're building. So they'll come and look at the architecture and say, it's like when they built this church, they got the expert in and he actually said, I can't remember, maybe someone was here. The wall was full. I don't know if Phil was here. The wall was crooked. And they literally, the architect said, you're going to take the whole thing down and rebuild it. And they literally cleaned all the bricks. And to save the bricks, to save money, because people were selling houses and cars to pay for this building, their own. And they cleaned every brick and they rebuilt the wall. So as Andrew was just checking out some of the dimensions on the wall here in Saint-Dopier, it just felt that we needed to take some walls down and clean those bricks and rebuild a bit straighter. And the issue that Andrew was picking up, and that's what I actually want to repent of, and you might think, well, this is not really a repentance thing. Is it more a leadership tweak issue? It's kind of both. But you repent when you're not doing things according to God's will. So, you know, if God said, I want it this way, and you're not building exactly, then you are, even if it's a small way, it's a sin. So, but I do. I want to come before you guys. And so just to clarify, how do we build church? So many, many churches, and we might have been part of those churches in the past, not all, but many, build around gifts. So you've got a very strong teaching gift or a very strong worship gift, a worship leading gift, and the church builds around that gift, and that's how the church builds. And it tends to be much more of a spectator thing. So people come, they have a good time, and then they go home. And as you know, in Josh Gen, we definitely don't do things that way. So Andrew just felt that I was building a little bit too much to gifts and a little bit too much towards a Sunday meeting, instead of what the scriptures actually tell us, and that's in Ephesians 4:16. It actually shows us how we actually should build. We shouldn't build around one strong gift. And I'm fairly gifted, so if you're fairly gifted, it's easy to build around your gift. And it's easy to create quick momentum, especially given the drama that we've gone through lockdown. And I'll tell you what, try lead a church through lockdown. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 × 3 − 4 + 6 to the power of 12 equals 4. And you're like, how? It's absolutely difficult. So what I've tended to do is, with the pressure down, is I've tended to go too much alone. It's been too much Joey and not relying enough on my team. I've already repented before my team. Lee's here as a representative of one of the elders. And I've already, and Phil, of course, and I've already come before the deacons, and I've already come before the other three meetings. So I'm coming for you guys as well. And just to say, listen, guys, I'm sorry for going too much alone. And I actually went through this with Donna about 6 or 7 years ago. And Andrew came to me and said, Joey, you're going nowhere unless you take Donna with you. And the problem was that I was just charging ahead and I wasn't involving Donna in every decision, involving Donna in any bit of input she had to actually hear her. Not necessarily, I get final call, not necessarily obey her, but listen to her and weigh what she's saying. And that was the issue that I had. I was just charging ahead and I wasn't weighing the team enough. And not only the team, the broader family, because we are one big family. And we're going to look at that now. So, and I'll tell you what, I am committed to it in principle. I love family. And Andrew considers me usually a good team guy. But when the pressure is extremely on you, when you're facing extreme pressure, that's actually, you tend to slip into your defaults. And Andrew always says I'm too much of a loner. So I don't like that designation or description, but we've all got our little weaknesses. So that's my weakness. So I've said to the eldership team, can you watch me? If you're feeling like I'm going too much alone, just say, hey, Jay, just we're here too. And I made that shift with Donna. And we're not perfect, not by a long shot, but I know that I'm committed to hearing Donna and taking Donna with me every step of the way. So I adjusted in our marriage, and we are where we are today. Again, I'm not perfect, but I am committed to it, babe. So I usually get her to come up and share, but she this confession time is a little bit of a train smash sometimes, so she actually wants no part of this train smash. So so I haven't actually been able to get out here. But I want to make that shift with you guys too today. And I want to say every step I want to make with you guys. So if we put a left foot forward, we're all putting a left foot forward, right? You know, I'm not going to be a little bit ahead, a little bit behind. I'm committing today to be moving exactly with you guys. So is that cool? So will you forgive me? And some of you guys might go, well, I never noticed. Some people did. And the apostle definitely noticed. So that's the upper clarification. So Andrew's definitely said, okay, I see it too. So cool. So how do we build church? If we don't build around a big Joey gift, we don't build around a full gift or one of you guys, Nadine Pettigrew gift, what gift do we actually build around? Because it hasn't just been me. It's been too much of emphasis on gifts. So if we're not, are gifts important? Yes, they are. God says desire the gift of prophecy. Desire it, seek it, because prophecy is using for building up the body. The problem is it's not the only thing. And if there's too much emphasis on the microphone gifts, the body isn't built up properly as it should. And that wall is slightly not straight. And this is actually, and it's brilliant. I didn't even check Danielle's songs for today. I mean, I trust Danielle implicitly, but the song we just sung is basically my message today. How can each person play their part? And Ephesians 4:16 shows us the correct way to build. It says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And that means that every single one of you have a part to play. And it's only as every single one of us contributes with the part that you have to play, and maybe an ear, maybe a leg, maybe a kneecap, maybe a shoulder, maybe an eye, maybe a hand. As you play your part according to what God's put in you, the giftings that God's put in you, as each one of you play your part, then the body has built itself up properly in love, that it's super straight, not as it builds around some prominent gifts. Does that make sense? It's different ways to build. This is the way that we should be building, and we need to hold each other, well, certainly at leadership level, hold each other to account, because that is the pattern that we've put from the beginning, put in Josh Gen. It's not something new. I've been in Josh Gen nearly 9 years, and I actually like to build this way, but sometimes this way is not the obvious way. It's easy to build around a big Sunday meeting, but that's actually not certainly how Andrew wants us to build here. So looking at a big scripture, and if you can bear with me, it's not a very complicated scripture, but it's a very long one. It's 16 verses. So if you can bear with me, but it says a lot well, and it's 1 Corinthians 12. 12 to 21. It says, just as a body, though it is, okay, let me read it off this one here. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit to one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. Now, that is in their context, Jews, etc. In our context, all of us are from different backgrounds. I mean, we've got such a range of people here, and so we should. So it doesn't matter, we don't have to have the same sport or same interests or same hobbies or same backgrounds. And that's not the point. The point is we were all given the one Spirit to drink. All of us have tasted the same drink. We're all drinking the same Coke. We're all drinking the same drink. And that is what unites us. I don't know what I'm doing Coke right now, but it's probably the most famous drink in the world. I mean, we've all drunk Coke. Verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Okay, so it's not a few people, it's many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? I can't be everything. I mean, that's impossible. I can be a little fraction. I'm just a little fraction of the every single one of us is important. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And you might think that what do I have to offer? You have got something that God has for you to offer in this church. Otherwise, we would never have joined you. There's something that you have to bring. And maybe it is just serving tea for a year. But you know that those teas that you're handing out are bringing a little bit of happiness to a lot of people. And you are starting to bring love and you playing your part. And sometimes that's more important. Sometimes it's while you're having tea, just greeting someone and saying, how's your day? And it might be the first person that genuinely asked them how they were. And you've suddenly built up the body in love. And that's how the body grows together. How's your day been? How's Jesus been? Verse 18, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. 21, the eye cannot say to the hand. So Paul's really laboring the point, but we can be a little bit thick sometimes. So he's really trying to say, guys, get this, please. If the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Now, if I can just pause for a sec. In a family that comes around a table, and let's just say you've got mom and dad and you've got three boys, and one of them is good at sport, and the other is good at academics, and the third one, Jack, no one knows what he's good at. They haven't seen anything yet, okay? But just because Jack's at the dinner table, he's no less valuable to the family. In fact, if Jack wasn't at the table, they would be really concerned. Jack is as important eating there at the table as anyone else. No one cares if he's good at sport or academics. They just care that he's part of the family. Jack's here. Awesome. And that's what God wants to get into our hearts, is that even by human standards, we might say, well, we don't even know what they have to offer yet. We haven't figured it out. But you're still important. And in some respects, sometimes treated with even more special honor. I mean, we're opposite culture to the world. In the world, they say to the rich man, you sit at the front. And they say to the poor man, you sit at the back. But in God's kingdom, they say, no, you give special honor to what the world sometimes gives no honor to. That's our family. As we care about every single person. And it's not how good you are at sport or academics. It's just that you're part of this family. You're a son or daughter in this house. And that's enough. And that's what God wants to get into us at family level. That you can just say, man, I belong here just because I am. Not because of what I bring. I'm a son and I'm a daughter in this house. And that's enough. And I'm valuable. And even if I feel like I've maybe one of the lesser parts, maybe in your own eyes, in God's eyes, sometimes He wants to give you even more special honor. And next week, with you guys, Jacques Dutoy, elder, he's going to be sharing a special message on that. So you can look forward to next week. So next week will be at 4:00. Something else is we forgot to put breaking bread in for you guys because the other guys have already broken bread. So can you guys please bring bread and juice or crackers and juice for next week, 4 p.m.? Just this group, only you guys. Everyone else did it last week. And you can't share. we'd normally have it in front here. We can't share, so you've got to bring your own. But you can bring for someone else, because let's face it, we'll have visitors, and we might have some, our brothers and sisters might forget. You can bring for someone else if it's wrapped and sanitized, and that you can pass it on in that respect. But you can't be breaking and sharing, not yet, okay? Man, that's going to be so good when we can get back to that. Okay, oh Jesus, help us. Okay, so back to this. So, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, but we'll remind you guys closer to the time. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given the greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Equal concern for each other. That means that we don't give preferential treatment to anyone. We have equal concerns for every single. I'm no important than anyone else here. I'm just another function. I'm just like a butt. Sorry. Have you seen Andrew's preach on that? Okay. Do you know that if your butt doesn't work and refer to Andrew's preach, you die in how many days? I think it should die in 8 days. You're dead. So even the parts that we think are not very glamorous are critical for the life of the church. Amen? Amen. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Daniel, if you can come up, and I'm just going to land there. I think the Lord has shared his heart with us. So we can just stand up where you are. I just want to give an opportunity for those guys that maybe just close your eyes where you are. You may be in this meeting today, and you may feel a pull from the Lord. And you may never